To be with you this evening. It's a privilege to be able to come to the house of God to worship Him. It really is. Hasn't always been that way. And so we thank God for that. I also like for you to welcome you to pay us a visit at Sharksville when you have the opportunity. As already was announced, for this evening, the topic, Evidences of Christian Growth. Taken out of 2 Peter in chapter 1, I welcome you to turn to that a while. I'm not going to be reading at this minute. I have some things that I'd like to share at first as it relates to growth. I believe every one of us likes to see growth. Many of us could hardly wait for spring to come this year. It seemed like a long winter, didn't it? Seemed like the green things that come out of the ground just weren't coming very quick, were they? Took a while till the trees finally budded. But spring finally came, and here we are in the middle of summer, or the beginning of summer. And the trees have again brought forth the buds and then turned into leaves. And plants have come forth, and now we see beautiful flowers. It's a part of growth. We watch it in spring. We watch it in plants. Mothers watch for signs of their new babies. Do they have some hair? Is it getting longer? Are they getting a tummy on them? Are they getting taller? Signs of growth. And we'd be really concerned if all of a sudden we wouldn't see any signs of that, would we? Plants would stop growing. Children would stop growing. It'd be pretty bad. But when things stop growing, the deterioration process begins. And I don't want you to forget that. And not one of us, I don't believe, likes to see that. We don't really like to see our beautiful cat get old and slow and finally fade off the scenes, or the plants. They just kind of wither up and they die. This evening, we're going to focus on spiritual growth. And growing in our Christian life is far more important than physical growth. A lack of physical growth can be under God's blessing, but a lack of spiritual growth brings a declining away from God, eventually death and separation. So this evening, this is an important part of Christian living. I would like to look at God's word again to remind us of what God wants for life as we consider the subject of growing. First of all, I'd like to take note of the title, Evidence of Christian Growth. I already alluded to this as we watch things grow. But the dictionary gives a definition for evidence. It gives something that gives sign or proof of existence. Or the word evident gives obvious, easy, or clear to see or understand. And also for the synonyms of growth, you would have the words development or maturity. And I just want you to put that in the back of your mind as we go through the remainder of this topic. I would like to make some parallels with trees and make some spiritual applications first of all. The question I like to ask is, what is the evidence whether a tree is healthy and growing? If you were to go out this time of the year, you would expect green leaves on the tree. If you planted saplings like I did, you'd check up on them to see if they're making any progress. Are they getting any taller? Or are they just sitting there? Are they withering away? If it were a mature fruit tree, you would check to see if it had any fruit hanging on the tree. If it had none of these, you would question its life, because you would see no evidence of growth. I'd like to make a parallel to our spiritual life. What is the evidence of Christian growth in your life? I believe it's a godly character or Christian graces that flows out of your life. If you claim to be a Christian tonight and there is no obvious sign or proof of any development or maturity in your life, the Bible questions your Christian life. Christian growth should be evident to those looking at your life. Remember that. I like to go back to the illustration of the trees. Trees have their own identity. Some trees are short, and some trees are tall. Some trees bush out, and some stay skinny. Some trees are young, and some are old. Some grow fast and some grow really slow. Some trees need lots of water while others do better in drier climates. The personality of the tree, the stage of its life, or its size does not alone determine whether the tree is dead. In other words, a sapling may have as much life as a big tree, even though the big tree could mock the little tree for being so little. The big tree could be closer to death than the little tree. But if the little tree is properly taken care of, it could be in time stronger and bigger than the big tree. Given enough water, proper care, and a good environment could produce a healthy, strong tree. I want to get another spiritual parallel. Every one of us are in different stages of life. All of us have different personalities. Some of us have had parents who have been very helpful in spiritual growth, while others have come from a more casual home of less spiritual interest. Some of us have given our hearts at a young age, while some of us have waited and spurned the call of God and given our life later on, given our heart to Christ later on, and have left some bad scars in our life. Because of all these different personalities, or because of all these different things that happen in your life, your growing experience in Christ may not be the same. But the important factor of this all is that even though you're in a different stage, growth is the important factor. Each of us need to continue to grow. It is important that each of us give our Christian life the time and care that we need to grow. Every one of us wants to grow strong. It is not as critical how tall we get, but rather how strong we get. The quality of our growing, or how we are feeding our Christian life, depends on this. I want you to get this. When we carefully feed our spiritual life with the right things, we will grow. And no matter what you face in your life, the toughest circumstances that you've faced, and the bad things in your life that you've faced, and where you've come from, and the bad choices that you've made, there's nothing too impossible for God. When you start allowing God to work in your life, He can accomplish something in your life that far exceeds the bad lifestyle that you've been in. And so this evening, I do not want to limit the grace of God and the work of God in our life. But I want you to understand that if we are careless in feeding our Christian life, it will be a result of stunted growth and eventually death. Again, when we carefully feed our Christian life, we will grow. I would like to read this passage now. I'd like to get some insights from it. And then secondly, I would like to consider some of the characteristics mentioned in this passage. The question I want you to consider this evening is this: is Christian growth evident in my life? 2 Peter chapter 1, I like to read the first 11 verses. 'Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to give a picture of what the church was facing prior and around this time. My Bible says that the book of 1 Peter, was written before Nero started persecuting the Christians. The writer Peter may have been preparing them for what lay ahead in the future, for what lay ahead of them. He gave them encouraging words, reassuring them of the hope they had through Christ. He reminded them of how Christ had suffered for them. He told them that they don't need to be ashamed of suffering as a Christian. He told them to rejoice, and he taught them obedience and submission. He taught them how to live a holy lifestyle. He taught them to resist the devil. Time passed and the persecution intensified, and Peter again picked up his quill, and he writes the second book of Peter. By this time, false teachers had sprung up, causing the people to doubt the truth. It appears that some felt that since salvation was not based on good works, therefore it did not matter how they lived. Peter writes to confront the issue by giving some clear direction, in hopes to encourage the people to understand Christian growth. He could well understand the heart of the people. He too had chosen one day to follow Christ. It had not always been easy. One day after choosing to follow Christ, he decides to return to his former job of fishing. While he was fishing, Christ came to him and gave the responsibility of a higher calling, fishing for men. Another time, Peter promised that he would die with Christ, but when the going got tough, he denied Christ three times. One day, Jesus told Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. With the process of time, Peter matured. God was faithful to work in his life, and Peter became one of the beginning founders of the Christian church. His life stands as an encouragement for us to follow. And I would like to pick out, first of all, a few of the words that he uses in the beginning of this passage to help us understand possibly where he was coming from as he was writing to the Christians about growth. The first word I'd like to consider is the word servant. Servant is simply someone who serves another. Peter calls himself a servant to Christ. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And as you look at Peter's life previous to this, there was a time when Christ had came around to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter didn't like that idea. He told Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus then went on to explain to Peter the importance of washing his feet. After the explanation, he reacts to his writing, he reacts to what he had originally told Jesus, and he says, I don't only want you to wash my feet, but I want you to wash my hands and head only. I'm not sure what was going through Peter's mind. But I think as time went on, Peter had made a connection of something very important. That Jesus Christ was finally the one he needed to follow no matter what. He made the connection that servanthood to Christ was important. And one of the aspects that I want you to remember this evening is that growth in your Christian life will only come through serving Christ. Growing in your Christian life will only come through serving Christ. The second word that I'd like to look at is the word obtained, and this simply means to get something or to get possession of something. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What I like about this word is the idea of something certain and real. Peter had felt the work of Christ in his life, the work of salvation. He had witnessed Christ's death. Christ had suffered and died on the cross for him. Christ was what had gave him freedom from sin. Through the blood of Christ, he had received cleansing. Peter knew it was all for him, as well as for to all those that he was writing to at this time. He was not left wondering whether or not that he had obtained salvation, but he knew it. It was something that he grabbed the hold of. I'd like to ask you, have you ever wrestled with doubts and fears, wondering if maybe you're saved or not? You just grappled with that? Here's my second point. Nothing is more assuring for growth in one's life than to have the confidence that your sins are under the blood. If you don't have that confidence, your growth in your life will really be stunted. Reach out to someone to receive that assurance of salvation so that you can continue to grow. The third word that I'd like to look at is the word called. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I like this word because it gives you purpose in the kingdom of God. God calls us to glory and to virtue. Sometimes we can get overwhelmed with wondering how we're ever going to live up to God's standard. But we need to remember that we daren't try on our own. It is not our standard of living that we came up with. God came up with a standard of living, and he simply called us to follow it. And if God called us, we do not need to feel that the journey is going to be too big for us. Neither do we need to feel that we just can't make it. We need to give up. God has called us, and He will help us. God has provided the roadmap, and He has also provided the power to travel. And to be called is a wonderful privilege. It is the only calling in life that we can be 100% certain that we will entirely be satisfied with. When we have this confidence, we can allow God to mold and shape us for His honor and for His glory. Thirdly, what I want you to understand, no experience will help us grow more than stepping out into the unknown with the blessing of God in our life. You need that blessing of God in your life. And sometimes we're not sure where we're going, but if God has called us, then we need not fear. Fourthly, the fourth word I'd like to consider is the word escaped. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm not sure what all Peter was referring to. We have an insight of Peter's life. As we look back in Scripture, we see some of his life. We don't see all of it. But as I thought back on my past, and I see where God has spared me, see what God has spared me from, it gives me courage to continue to grow. I know for certain that I do not want to go back to the bondage of sin. The corruption of the world is slavery. And I believe to understand what we've escaped from, or to understand that we've escaped the very thing that was actually going to bring us to damnation, should urge us to distance ourselves from the evil powers. The peace that God gave in our heart and power, the peace that God gave in our heart and the power to deliver us from evil is truly a blessing for our life. This is what I want you to understand. To keep in proper perspective of what God did for us will encourage us to continue to grow. As you look back over your life, see what God has done for you. See where God, what God has kept you from. It's a blessing. And to have the confidence of a better future. Escape the corruption. I would also now like to jump down and simply take this passage and look at the list of words we have in verses 5 through 7. All these are evidences of Christian growth in our life. And we know these things don't come naturally because it says, give diligence. And we also understand that it takes time because it says, add. It's a growing process. I would like us to consider where we are in our hearts as we go down through this list. First of all, it says, add to your faith virtue. And we'd like to look at faith. First of all, faith is simply a belief or trust, devotion to, or when you trust someone or somebody, especially without logical proof. And this evening, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you believe or do you have faith? Believing God is an act of faith. And this may not be hard for us to accept. But faith reaches out into many areas of life. It could be assurance of salvation. It could be worrying about the future or your financial status. It could be your lot in life. But whatever it is, do you believe that God is big enough to do just what He says? Do you believe that God planned the details in your life? Do you believe that God will take care of you every day of your life, including the future? Strong questions and doubts have a way of dragging us down, but when we choose to trust God, we lay a foundation that will allow us to build. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that faith gives evidence of Christian growth in your life. How strong is your faith? Secondly, says virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is simply goodness or the quality of being morally good or righteous. And I ask the question tonight, are you concerned about your actions and your thought life? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I believe this evening, if you are concerned about righteous living, it will give an indication, it will give evidence of growth in your Christian life. Thirdly, I like to look at knowledge. Add to virtue, knowledge. And knowledge is simply information of the mind, or you could say a general awareness of possession of information, facts, ideas, truth, or principles. Sometimes we hear the slogan, ignorance is bliss. Well, that may be true in some cases, but when it comes to the Word of God, absolutely wrong. Do you have a desire for spiritual things? Do you seek wisdom? Knowledge. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I believe the more knowledge that we can get from God, the better. It is through knowledge that we know that God exists. It is through knowledge that we know that the world was created. It is through knowledge that we know that we were sinners. It is through knowledge that we have come into a saving relationship with God. And it is through knowledge that we have the precious promises of eternal life. And I like to say, never stop learning. It reminded me of a song sometimes we sing for our children. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, you will shrink, shrink, shrink. If you are taking the time to allow God to speak to you, I believe it gives evidence of your Christian life, that you're growing in your Christian life. The next one is temperance. This is simply self-restraint in the face of temptation or desire. Today we live in a society where people have little restraint. They follow their heart's content, indulging in drunkenness, gluttony, and extremely unhealthy diets. Some people enjoy eating so much that they'll eat and then they'll go throw up so they can eat some more. Music in today's age is very ungodly and is turned up so loud that it's hard on the body. Weddings nowadays can cost an unbelievable amount of money. Electronics have become the norm, but needed to be replaced with the newest of availability. And I believe God is calling us to temperance in all things. Are you able to say no when you've had enough? Are you able to say no to ungodly spending habits? Are you able to say no when you should be at home with your family? Say no to work. I believe a lifestyle of temperance gives evidence of Christian growth. Also, the word patience. Patience is simply the ability to endure waiting, delay, or provocation without becoming annoyed or upset, or to preserve calmly when faced with. Patience can be very difficult to have. We have our busy lifestyles. We have schedules to meet. We have bills to pay. The baby hasn't given me a break. My wife just doesn't get it, or my husband just doesn't seem to care. And it's in moments like these that we're tested. Our patience is tested. Can you endure waiting without getting upset? Can you speak without anger in your voice? And I believe in times like this, we need to remember the patience that God has with us. And it was mentioned earlier that Christ is still waiting. And someday he'll come back again. If you have cultivated patience, it gives evidence of Christian growth in your life. The next word is godliness. This is simply means devoted or to worshiping God or reverence and respect. And I like to ask the question, what are you worshiping? Where is your focus? Are you giving God the respect and the reverence that he deserves? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. When God holds a priority in our life above anything else, I believe it gives evidence of Christian growth in our life. The next one is brotherly kindness. And this is simply loving us in a friendship. We have many opportunities to show this kindness. The well-being of our brothers and sisters should be continually on our mind. Often we need encouragement. Will you be there to help them along? When we work close with each other, we tend to see their failures. But just remember, maybe the times that they're disappointing us is maybe when they need us the most. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. If we can show these acts of kindness and service to those closest to us, I believe it gives evidence of Christian growth in our life. The last one is charity. Loving without condition. I believe Jesus put it well when he said these words, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The question I like to ask is, when people hurt you, can you return blessing? It's pretty tough, isn't it? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. This love goes beyond brother and sister in Christ. It is to those who have done us wrong. It is in times like these that we must show charity. If you have this kind of charity, it gives evidence of growth. And this is possibly the greatest evidence of Christian growth. Because Scripture says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest is charity." Now the end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Emmanuel for prayer. Emmanuel for prayer. Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for providing for us. Father, we were lost. We were in darkness. We were sinners and we were unlovely. But in your plan, you provided a way for your only Son to come and die on the cross for our sins. And you loved us even though we were in this condition. You shed your blood to give us life. And you reach out to all mankind. You provide life for each and every one of us. Salvation is open for all. And Father, we're grateful for this provision. Thank you for this gift. It's nothing that we do, but it's simply a gift that you've given to us. While we were yet sinners, you loved us. And Father, you've come in our hearts and you've cleansed us. And you've freed us from sin. And you've changed your life and you've took our messed up vessel and you've made into a useful one for your honor and for your glory. And Father, you've called us to Christian living. A life that because of a changed heart, you have given us characteristics of how to live. And we thank you again for your word this evening. It shows us and gives evidence to us of Christian growth. It shows us the way how to live and how to continue to be more like you. And Father, this is our goal, to be like you. And Father, as we are like you, we just ask that others could see you through us. Because, Father, someday we will stand before you and you will judge us by the deeds that we've done. And we just ask, Father, that you would continue to be merciful to those that are still lost and that they would see the need to also grow in their Christian life, to grow in their life, and to give their hearts and lives to you and to become more like you. So that they can look forward to an eternity with you. We ask now that your blessing would be on this congregation. Thank you for their Christian witness. Thank you for working in their life as well. Thank you that you've provided for each and every one of us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I ask that they would continue to be faithful to you and they would reach out in this community and bring more souls into the kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 4.